Welcome back into Sports Saturday on 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, YouTube, Twitch for the kids. Joe Fisher III, Rashad Taylor.
The first,
that's right. And Brandon Henson.
The only.
The first, yeah.
B-Hen, the second.
Just wrapped up talking about some Blazer stuff, you know, them letting go of broadcasters specifically. And I just want to say this one thing to wrap this up is that we, and this, you know, I talked about it last segment about how, like, you know, I don't know anybody over at the Blazers. You know, the only person I did know at a point was Mike Lynch, and obviously he's not there anymore. You know, like mutual friendships through some other people over there, but for the most part, again, I don't know anybody over there. So, but what I do know happens is a lot of these local reporters, journalists covering the team, whatever, they get in real friendly with the broadcasting team because it's the only one in town, and so it's kind of this club of Blazers reporters, Blazers broadcasters, they're all friends, all hanging out. So when some of them get cut, you have reporters that, again, or journalists, or claim to be journalists, and I'm not going to name names, but someone specifically in the market who are clearly showing their true colors and not, like, reporting what's happening and just tweeting out that, oh, Tom Dundon's making, you know, because he has a hockey team, he must know what he's doing. So every decision, like, if you are a journalist reporter, you can't be posting, retweeting snarky ass comments about, like, to me, that's, I'm just not going to follow you anymore on Blazer stuff. I'm not going to follow you because you, like, you clearly feel a certain way about these decisions and you're letting that leak into your coverage about the team. So if I want to know what's really happening and why decisions are being made for the Blazers organization, quite frankly, I don't think I'm going to get that locally at this point. To an extent. Again, Jason Quick does an awesome job. He's talking to a lot of people. But he went as far as to say on Isaac Sukht that Tom Dundon is near the top of most hated Blazers in organizational history. Like, we had Ruben Patterson on the team. Like, what are we talking about here? And a guy that signed Ruben Patterson or traded for him. Like, so I feel like there's just this whole club of how dare they let this broadcaster go from the Blazers. And it's like, well, yeah, because, like, you're a reporter and have known this person for 50, 20 years. At this point, that's your friend. That's not, like, a colleague. And so you're not going to be able to report on that as truthfully as you should. And that's just what kills me in this town is because it is the one trick pony with the Blazers. That's where everybody wants to report on. That's where the top reporters go to, where the top broadcasters want to go to. And then you have this just group, this friendship of broadcasters, non-broadcasters, reporters, and it creates things like this where you have local reporters or journalists saying Tom Dundon thinks he can make good decisions just because he's done this with another team. It's just like, dude, that is an opinion. That's not what you're supposed to do. Report just what's happening for me, please.
I think for a lot of those guys, things get kind of muffled just a little bit just because – or muddled just a little bit. These guys do spend a lot of time together. Yeah. They are at the practice facility. They are traveling together to different states, and they are – you know, so they're spending a lot of time together with the players, with each other and stuff. So, yeah, I can imagine a bit of a camaraderie being built between those guys and, yeah, dare I say a friendship of sorts to where you see a friend get – fired and you instantly go to emotion, right? Yeah. And online and everything, like, and which a part of me, you know, understands, like, if y'all were, like, unjustly fired or something like that, I'd be pretty upset. I don't know if I would go to social, but I think somebody close to me would kind of understand, like, what I was saying and get out there. But I do think when you, I'm not sure where these writers are affiliated with, if they're actually affiliated with a team or a certain journalistic group or whatever the case is, I'm not really sure. But either way, emotions and social media are never a good thing.
That's
what I'm gonna say. Like, I don't know any situation, be it sports or outside of sports, where somebody's been emotional and going to X or going to Instagram has worked out well for them.
Emotions in journalism and reporting, like,
aren't supposed to go, you know, together, unless you're writing about something you're truly passionate about, you truly care about, and everything, and you know, investigative journalism, stuff like that. Like, okay, but
It drives me nuts, man. I learned very early at U of O. We had an assignment at journalism school. It was like one of my first assignments. And it wasn't a big paper or anything. It was just say, hey, here's this like fake story like that we concocted up. Go and write a newspaper article for this, you know, fake story, right? What I thought was a good article that I wrote, red marks, wrong, bad word, don't use this word, this word implies this, this word implies you lean this way, this word implies that you actually like this person. Like, it was such an eye-opening experience that just one wrong word choice can make the perception that you feel a certain way about a certain topic. And so when I see, again, guys that have worked for other, like, news organizations, sports organizations, news, like, so I know they're good writers, journalists, reporters, they've done this before, and now they're starting to interject their opinions into how things are being done. That to me is just,
you know,
like,
what you're doing,
you're
too.
Overstepping a line, dude, to the point where I'm just like, okay, well, then if I want essentially my echo chamber of Blazers, Dundon, bad, terrible, worst thing ever, then I'll just read your stuff, because clearly I know that's the side you're on. Rather than trying to get the full picture, and I don't know who's going to do that in this city. Like I said, maybe it's quick, but you know, you can tell based off his interview with Isaac and Suk, he feels a certain way about Dundon.
And
you
got to be real. There are certain people that are going to pander one way or the other, right? And this is why Fox News is a thing, because it's an alternative to something else. This is why, you know. So you have a group that's going to pander to one group, and you know, sometimes that's just what people. I'll be real. I don't follow anybody. If I see a good article written about our team or something like that,
Lone wolf.
No, seriously, like, because I understand there are too many people that have their own like personal opinions about stuff, and it bleeds into their work. And so, yeah, if I see a good article, I'll read it. I might agree with it. I might not. I've seen so many articles. John Morant to the Blazers is a great thing. John Morant to the Blazers is going to kill the organization. It's like, so it's, you know what I mean? There's people that are going to go both ways. So I just try to keep it neutral. I don't really follow any of the people. I'm sure there are a lot of great writers out there, but I've been burned by too many of the great writers, and especially in Portland history in the past, to really believe any one of them. One writer came out like a couple weeks ago and said some stuff about Ja being, this is bringing back the Jailblazers now, the Ja. I'm not going to say it, give him credit and say his name.
We all know who it is.
We all know who it is. And then the next day it was like, I had no idea I was using the Jailblazers. Yes, you did. You know what it means. You know what it's meant. You've worked too hard in the city with this organization to not understand the connotation of that. So, you know,
who do you
whatever.
Think I am?
Well, we know who you are.
Good pull. Good pull. All right, take a break, and now we will get into football. Let's start predicting some NFL football. What the hell's going to happen this season? Do that next. NFC South, AFC South, football on Fan Sports Saturday? Football Saturday? Fan Sunday? Sports Sunday? What is the show name again? Because we're going to be Football Saturday here soon.
Sports Saturday for today.
Did we go Football Saturday last year, or did we just stay with Sports Saturday?
I think we stayed Sports Saturday.
Okay. Well,
I think we stayed Sports Saturday.
Right. Well, this is the Fan. All right.
It's time.
Oh, the bells.
To start predicting the 2026-2027 NFL season.
I'm stoked.
Let's bring those bells down just a little bit more. A little bit more. Right there. Perfect. There. They are still belling. That is a good bell right there. AFC South. Texans, Jags, Colts, Titans. I believe the Jaguars were your division winner last year.
They were.
Ended up losing in the first round of the playoffs against the Denver Broncos, correct?
Was it the Broncos? I think it was.
Patriots had
no,
the
no,
bye.
No, no, no. No, yeah, so...
Oh, boy.
No, the Broncos had the bye.
Who beat the Texans? The Patriots beat the Texans.
Yeah. No. I'm talking about the Jags, who the Jags lost in that first round. I believe it was to Denver. Trevor Lawrence throwing a pick late in Jacksonville.
That was Buffalo.
Yeah, because the Denver had the bye last year.
Denver did have the bye.
Yes.
They were the one seed. Patriots played Texans. Mm-hmm. Okay.
In the snow.
All right. It's all coming back to me. See, this is why we do this. This is why we do this. AFC South, though, Jags won it last year. Texans came in second. Colts, they had a fun little start to the season, and then Daniel Jones went down and all went to hell. And then the Titans, of course, at one point were, as Cam Ward said, we ass. They're hoping not to be ass this year. But let's start with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Rashad, they have a very interesting stretch of schedule to start the year before their bye week. They got a week 7 bye week, but this is the Jags open to their season, right? They're going to start with Cleveland right away, and then they get the Broncos in Denver, Patriots, Bengals, Eagles, and Texans. All back to back to back to back. That is weeks 2 through 6. Again, the Jags have to play at the Broncos, host the Patriots, at the Bengals, host the Eagles, host the Texans. And quite frankly, Rashad, I think the Texans or the Jags have a good chance of being 6-1 going into their bye week. I could see them beating the Broncos in Denver. I could see them beating Jacksonville at home. I could see them beating Cincinnati at Cincinnati. I could see them beating Philly, and I could see them beating Houston. I mean, hell, I could see them being 6-0 before the bye week even starts for the Jags. Now, that probably won't happen. NFL's weird. They're probably going to drop one, maybe two. I could see them losing that game in Denver, Mile High. That's a tough place to go to. I could see them dropping one to either the Eagles or the Patriots, but I mean, it's a pretty tough start, but I see the Jags still coming out of that with either like a 5-2 or 6-1 start.
Yeah, I think they can.
Because then they get the Colts after the bye week.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, I'm looking at their first part of their schedule, and again, that first 5 to 7 weeks of the season for them could be really, really good for this team. You know, I don't expect them to lose to the Browns. I do expect – is Bo Nix back or is he still out? Or
he should be back.
He should be
back.
If Bo Nix is back, I expect them to – Broncos to win at home. I expect the Patriots, who play great in September, to win that game, you know. So, but, yeah, the Bengals, the Eagles, the Texans, I don't know. Like, I do think that's going to be a little more of a struggle for them, but could also work out well in their favor. For me, I think Jacksonville is one of those teams that, like, I'm still not quite sure if last year was just a
flash in the pan.
Yeah,
or...
like, we've seen Trevor Lawrence have some good seasons, but last year was, like, clearly his best one. And if he can keep that touchdown number high, then I think they have a good chance. If they can keep him protected, then they'll be good. Honestly, on paper, they're probably the second best team in this division.
Well, so just running through that schedule real quick, I got them at 11-6, the Jaguars. Let's go to the next best team, or possibly the best team, is the Texans. Now, they get to host the Bills and the Bengals right away. So they'll get the Bills at home, they'll get the Bengals at home in weeks 1 and 2, they'll go to Indy, and then they'll host the Cowboys in week 4. So in the first month of the season, technically, They literally have to go to Indianapolis, and then that's it. And they get to host the Bills, the Bengals, and the Cowboys. That's a pretty nice start
Texans. Their next game on the road is at the Titans.
Yeah.
And so it's...
That's a nice 5-game stretch to start the season that you can easily win. You should win at least 3 of those.
Yeah.
Maybe you drop the one to the Bills. Should get that one at home against the Bengals. You have a really good defense. Have them beating the Colts, probably going to beat the Cowboys at home, beat the Titans. So, yeah, you're looking at maybe 4-1 to start the year for the Texans. What I remember, I did this exercise yesterday, though. I had the Texans kind of falling apart late in the season because this is their stretch of games about halfway. Week 13, they got to go to Pittsburgh. And then the next week, they got to go to Washington. Then they host Jacksonville. And then they have to go to Philly and then to Green Bay. So they have 4 away games in a 5-game stretch towards the end of the season against some good teams. Steelers, playoff teams. Commanders, expected to be back to playing good football. The Eagles, God knows what they're going to look like at that point in the season, but should be good.
I think
Packers should be good. That's going to be a tough end to the season.
The first part of the season is going to be super, super important to this team. If they can go on a nice little run to start the season where they end up, you know, 8-3, and you know, something like that, they can afford to lose some games as they get towards that tail end. But hopefully by then, that's when things are good. The main question for the Texans is, can they stay healthy? That's all. I think that's been the main issue for them. Like, they've had some like heartbreaking injuries that happened in the playoffs. You've missed some games with C.J. Stroud because he's getting knocked around all the time. Can the Texans stay healthy, for me, is the number one question.
So running through the schedule and choosing winners and losers, and this is what I came up with yesterday, and their win total is set at 8.5. I got the Texans at 8-9 this year. I have them falling apart at the end of the season. I have them losing 5 of their last 6 games.
Yeah, I'm going to say by that time they're playing pretty good football, so I'm going to say 10-7.
At that 4 road games in 5 weeks,
they're going to win 2 of those. They're going to win 2 of those.
Buddy, I think they'll be happy to win
one. That defense is nasty. They're going to win. They're probably only going to get better. They're going to win 2 of those games.
Yeah, I think 8 wins with that defense sounds too low.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, I hear you. The defense was very good last year. It's the offense that worries me.
If the offense can match
the offense, that worries me, and it's the offense going on the road that worries me. I mean, they played the Steelers in that first playoff game last year. I mean, that was god-awful up until the fourth quarter, and the only reason they pulled away is because of their defense. So, I mean,
right.
That's where it's the Texans' offense on the road is what's going to say. We saw it against the Patriots, what that looked like as well.
Oh, and the snow, not
huge
cool.
Year for C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
Huge year for him. And then we can go to the bottom feeders of the conference, the Colts. Are the Colts going to have another season like they did last year where they make a nice little run to start the year? Then fizzle out? Is this just going to be a meh season where they're kind of just middle of the road with Daniel Jones and kind of look like the Giants from a couple years ago? I mean, what do we expect out of them? They start with the Ravens. They then have to go to Kansas City, which, dude, Patrick Mahomes might be ready for week 1, it sounds like. He is fully cleared for all activities.
With a
vengeance. I mean, you got to play Baltimore, Kansas City, Houston, your first 3 games. Two of those playoff teams, the Chiefs weren't last year, but they're the Chiefs. So, I mean, that's a tough 3 games right away for the Colts.
Throw in 4, because the next game after that is the Commanders.
In London.
So, yeah, so and in London. So take the flight and everything into consideration for that. I think it's going to be a tough season for the Colts. I'll be honest. Daniel Jones is not one of those guys I trust at the QB position.
And then week 5 after that Commanders game in London, you got to go to Pittsburgh right after that.
Yes.
You could be looking at an 0-5 or 1-4 Colts team to start the season.
And then 2 weeks after that, you have to go play that Vikings defense. And so there's
– In Minnesota.
In Minnesota. Yeah. So there is just a lot of things against you as you look at your schedule. You know, and then you have like a nice little stretch towards the middle of the season with – teams like the Dolphins, the Texans, and, you know, the Giants. Like, you have a nice little 3-game stretch. But for the most part, I think it's going to be a real struggle for this Colts team. I'm saying 7-10.
Yeah, as I'm running through my little selections here, it's not going to be a good year. I got them, I think, at a final number of 5-12. Yeah.
Jeez.
It's going to be rough. And I don't think it's going to be much better for the Titans. They play the Jets right away, thank God. I mean, they have a pretty easy schedule considering the conference they're in. But then they play the Giants. They get the Browns. They get the Raiders. So the Titans, I mean, could they be better than last year? Absolutely. Were they like a 2-win team last year? Absolutely. So the Titans improving their win total, well, that very likely will happen. We're still looking at like a 4-13 Titans team this year, 5-12, somewhere along those lines.
I don't know, man. The Titans are the one team that I look at this roster and I say, if there was ever a worst to first team in a division, it's probably this. No, hold on. Just hear me out.
I'm listening.
You start the season with the Jets, right? And then you have a game against the Eagles, which I think a lot of us expect them to kind of lose. But we're not really sure what we're seeing from the Giants or what the Giants are going to be yet.
I got Titans winning that one.
Yeah. And so, like, the Colts, the Browns, the Bengals, and the Jaguars game. The Cowboys, I think, are going to be better, but who really knows at this point. I'm sure Joe has an opinion on where the Cowboys are going to be. But I was looking at this team, and I'm like, there are a lot of games in here that the teams are going to say, yeah, we got this. We're going to sweep them under the rug because they got a second-year quarterback. They got a second-year head coach. Man, we're going to run over them. And I think it'll catch a lot of people slipping with that wide receiver room.
Well, unfortunately, after running through,
I'm
the
not
games,
saying they will.
I got my Titans. I got my Titans at 4-13.
I'm still saying they're. I think they can win 6. They can win 6 games.
6.
But if they won 10, wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, I mean, I got them in that 4-6 range. Yeah. Just going through it initially, 4-13. So I got the Jags winning the division this year at 11-6, is what I got. But you're feeling Houston.
I think Houston's got the division at 10-7.
Okay. All right. I got Jags. You got Houston. I'll jot this down. We'll get those locked in. And now it's time to get the NFC South locked in. Bucks, Saints, Panthers, Falcons. Next here to Sports Saturday. All right, doing some NFL divisional previews as we're getting closer and closer to the season. I will say, Dirt and Sprague, they have upped their college football preview lately. Starting to talk about, you know, different conferences. They had Phil Steele on last week. And I had to let them know that when they do that, I have a full-on shove my entire drive into work when they do those football college football breakdowns, man. I love the NFL. College football these last few years, for some reason, and it's kind of ironic because it's like not the college football we used to know of growing up, and it's a completely different game. College football last year, couple of years, has just been like totally capturing me in a way that NFL hasn't, and it's crazy to me. This season, I want you to just look at the crowds in NFL stadiums. Some better than others, but just look at the audience and what's going on. Some stadiums, it is literally like a Sunday brunch. Like, you are showing up to the game and just chilling and sitting in your seat and enjoying your time with your family, watching the game, and yeah, some big plays happening. You get amped up. For the most part, the energy in the stadiums for college football,
different.
Way different for a regular season game than a week 13 game in the NFL where it's like the Lions taking on the Dolphins or something like that. Now, granted, again, I know some of these stadiums, they get absolutely amped and they're on their feet the entire time, especially if you have a winner.
Seattle.
You know? But yeah, there are some NFL teams, fan bases, franchises where they're not like dog crap, terrible franchise New York Jets. But you look at the environments, and you're just like, dude, there is just no juice in that building at all.
I mean,
whereas like you go to Mississippi State, and they're the worst team in the damn conference, and they're ringing their cowbells all game long, getting crushed by 40.
Listen, the environment in college football, you're playing for the pageantry, you're playing for the pomp and circumstance, like all that stuff. You're playing for tradition, you know, all that jazz. Like in the NFL, we know guys are playing for money. Like, that's the big thing. In college, they're still playing for money, you know, but they're also, you know,
playing for a lot of money nowadays.
Yeah, they're playing for the little city in which that they, you know, they live and stuff like that. So, like, for college football games, like, especially for an Oregon game, if the game starts at, let's say, noon, like, we're up at 8 drinking and pre-gaming and getting ready. And
I love my 7 a.m. Autzen parking lot
like,
here.
When you go to you know, Lumen or something like that, there's not like a bunch of Seahawks stuff for miles and around. Like, you might see a Seahawks flag in like a bar window or something like that. But for the most part, when you get to Eugene, every house, every store, everything is covered in green and yellow. Like, yes, let's go. There's an energy as soon as you get there. Like, okay, yeah, here we go. You see tons of people walking in the same direction, all wearing your college stuff. And then you get there. If you've seen Ohio State, you see the horseshoe. That's how many people?
Like 100,000
yeah, people. NFL stadium is what, 60 maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe 60?
60 to 70 somewhere.
Yeah, that, yeah, something like that. But 70 is the base of where most college stadiums start. They start at 70. So you look at the Big House, the Horseshoe, Rocky Top, all those places.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. But we are talking about NFL because NFL is king. NFL is king. No matter how much we love college football, and some maybe love college football more than the NFL, NFL still rules. And who will rule the NFC South? Last year, it was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Was it the Bucs?
Carolina.
Panthers.
The Panthers, that's
won
right.
Won the division.
Last game.
That's right. And got absolutely boned in the playoffs by the Bears because of calls. I mean, Panthers aren't a great team, but they got screwed. It was against the Buccaneers, actually, in that last game of the year to win the division is where they got screwed on a few calls. But anyways, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I would say, have been the most consistent over the last few years out of all the teams. It seems like there's a new division winner every season. But the Buccaneers have been definitely the with Brady and with Baker, they have been the best team in this division the last couple of years. So it's just a matter of, does this turn into another year of NFC South where everybody is 8-8 going into the last game of the year and we get a division winner? Or if somebody actually you know, takes the division and is like, no, this is ours, and we're winning 11 games and beating everybody by at least 3 games this year. And if any team's going to do it to me, it's going to be the Bucks.
Think so?
I mean, the Saints, they turned it on late with Tyler Shuck. Kellen Moore was the Cowboys' offense coordinator for a while, which he was awesome. He was good with the Eagles. Him as a head coach, I just, like, there's part of me that unless they start winning some games, I don't know how that dude can motivate a locker room. Like, Kellen Moore to me, like, I cannot look at that guy in the face and be like, yeah, I'll go to war with this guy. Like, he's just a goofball to me. But what I think what will win him over is his offensive game plan. Like, that will – if you're not a rah-rah guy and you can't get, like, the motivational buy-in, like, by being the CEO type, you better have a good scheme. And Kellen Moore can do that. It's just a matter of, are they going to build on what they did at the end with Tyler Shuck last year? Sure, they could, but to me, I just don't think this is their division to win. I think it's the Buccaneers' division to lose.
I don't know. I think the Bucs, you know, I don't know if they're going to take a step back. I know losing Mike Evans was a big blow to them, but Emeka Egbuka, how do I say his last name?
Egbuka? Egbuka.
Egbuka.
Can we find the Rob Gronkowski pronunciation, by the way? I know it's in the system.
Yes, but I mean, I think he had a big breakout year last year, so I think he's going to be a guy that, you know, Baker really kind of lays his hat on. And Chris Godwin, you know, this year, hopefully this is the year that they can kind of spread the ball around a little bit. I don't know if it's their division to lose. I do think there's some other talent in this division. But as it stands, I still think they'll win anywhere between 9 to 11 games this year.
Yeah, just running through the schedule real quick, picking winners, picking losers. I think I got the Bucks somewhere around that 8, 9. Oh, my God. No, I got him at 6-11. I'm just clicking teams, and now I'm like, oh, my God, the Bucks are at 6-11.
I don't think they're going to win the division.
How the hell did that happen?
They're not going to win the division this year.
I have them start.
Big boo.
One more time. Play it one more time. It is so good.
Emeka Egbegbu.
Egbegbu? Is that what he just said? Egbegbu.
That's a nice try, Grunt.
All right, I'm going to have to reshuffle some wins and losses for this Buccaneers team, clearly. Hell, if there's any division where a 6-11 team is going to win the division,
it's definitely this
one. It's the NFC South,
right? It's 100% this
one. So, yeah, I got the Bucs winning this division at 6-11. I'm standing by that.
Yeah, I think they can win closer to, like, 9 games. So I'm going to say 9-8.
Well, like I said, I got to find some wins in here because, I can't have them going 6-11. Looking at their schedule, I mean, they get 3 straight home games, weeks 2, 3, and 4. It's not a murder's row schedule, but they just have just enough in there that it could make things go awry towards the end of the year. Like, you got the Chargers week 13, the Ravens week 14. Back-to-back divisional opponents, which God knows what happens in that. And then you have the Rams, and then you finish the season with the Saints. So, like, I mean, really, after their bye week, man, it is a total toss-up. So I'm going to say the Bucs win this. At 6-11, no. I'll bump it up to 9-8 somehow. But after your bye week, man, it is going to be a tough test for the Bucs. 100%.
Yeah, I agree with you. 9-8.
You know what? Let's take a break. We're going to wrap up the rest of this in the final segment here. Get to some more news and notes here. Sports Saturday, Fan Sports Network. Yeah, I got the Bucks now at 7-10. But, dude, their schedule is...
I mean, awesome.
No, they get these 3 straight home games, weeks 2, 3, and 4. But then they literally alternate home and away for, like, the next 6, 7 weeks, something like that. They go away, home, away, home, away, bye week, away, home. And then again, the last few games, really after their bye week, it's just like the Bucks play the Lions, they play the Panthers, the Chargers, the Ravens, the Saints, Falcons, Rams, and Saints again. So you play all your divisional opponents plus the Saints again, and then you also play the Lions, the Chargers, the Ravens, and the Rams. That's why I think this is all starting to make sense, this 6-11, 7-10 thing here. Is that schedule, I mean, after week 4, man, it's like, have fun alternating home and away games, and then at the end of the year playing some really tough teams. and your divisional opponents. Best of luck on that one.
Yeah, that's not an ideal schedule for any team to be successful, but I do think they're a good enough team to win at least anywhere between 8 to 9.
Panthers, they start with the Bears at home right away. Then they'll go to Atlanta. They'll go to Cleveland. They'll host the Lions. They get an early bye week. But again, some really good teams that they're playing to start the year with the Bears, the Lions, the Eagles, the Packers. They'll play the Broncos in week 9. I mean, those are a lot of good teams right away to start the year. They'll go to Lambeau. They'll host the Broncos. They'll go to Philly. I mean, initially to start the year, man, they might have a win or two on their schedule. The first 9 games, even with the bye week, that is a rough schedule. You play Cleveland, but you got to go to Cleveland. Going to the dog pound is never fun.
No. No, it's not.
No one wants to go to Cleveland.
No, it's not. You know, but at least they get to go to Cleveland in September and not go to Cleveland in October, late October, early November or something like that. That could be disastrous for this team. Yeah, I think we might be looking at the number one pick in the draft this year.
Jesus.
I'm not, I mean, seriously, you look at they.
I do want to
just starting the season isn't awesome for you.
Want you to keep in mind there are teams like the Dolphins and the Cardinals and the Jets this year.
I said this is going to be one of those teams at the top of the draft. I think we can agree on that part right now. If they have a season that's more than 5 to 6 wins, I think we'll all be surprised. But to start your season with Chicago and then you go to Atlanta, who I think is going to be better than a lot of people figure they're going to be, and then the Browns, the Lions, the Eagles, the Bucks, the Packers, like, yeah, that's a tough go of it for a team that was just trying to figure it out last year. So, yeah, I mean, I think the Panthers had a good season. They made the playoffs. I think a lot of pressure came off of your young quarterback, but I still think they're a long way away.
Yeah, just going through their schedule. Damn, Rashad. Yeah, I think we might be looking at possibly a 3-win Panther team.
Yeah, I'm saying like some team that's probably going to be up.
There's no way. There is no way they're going to be that bad. Again, they got a tough schedule too. Like, even when they play bad teams, like, they still have to go there.
Yeah.
Again, the Vikings, like, how good are they going to be? I don't know. But they got to go to Minnesota, and with that defense, very tough place away. The Steelers, how good they will be, I don't know. They made the playoffs last year. You got to go to Pittsburgh this year if you are the Panthers. And even when you play the really good teams, you got to play the Seahawks and host them. Have fun with that. The Bengals, they might just light you up when they come into town. You host the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. The Broncos get to come to Carolina. This is not going to be a fun
season
for Carolina.
It's not
going
to be fun for you. It's not going to be.
And I feel
be
bad
good
because I saw Bryce Young and Tet McMillan at the Nike employee store a couple weeks ago, and I was like, you know what? I'm pulling for Carolina just because I have now seen those guys. All right. Just
weird, that's usually how it goes.
Weird random tangent right there. It's like, you know what?
I saw those guys. Now.
I'm locked in for you this
year.
Yeah,
you're my dude now.
I don't think that's going to be the case for this year. So now it's up to the Falcons and Michael Penix, who, when he got drafted, that was the guy for me. Out of all those quarterbacks in the draft, I'm like, that is going to be the best, and he could potentially not be on this team next year if the season goes the way that Falcon fans hope it does not go. Luckily, Raheem Morris, no longer with that team. Thank God. I think that was one of the biggest problems that you had, was you need to get an offensive-minded coach for that team. Hopefully the Falcons are able to have a good season, because I'm pulling for Penix. I think just what we saw, what he did at Washington, especially against our Ducks, the guy can throw the football extremely well.
Yeah,
and
he's
so
a lefty.
I want to see him, like, I've never rooted for a Husky fan this hard or a Husky player this hard in my life. I want to see him light up the league like he lit up the Ducks the year that he was starting there, 2 years. So, yeah, man, classic NFC South. Who the hell knows who's going to win it? I'll take the Bucks.
And this is why I'm taking Atlanta. I think Atlanta has the best roster, if you're talking about offensively, in possibly football, or possibly, but and especially in this division. I think having Bijan Robinson, who was just an absolute stud, you know, at the running back position. Drake London, when he was healthy, was arguably a top 3-4 receiver in the league. He just got big money this year.
Yeah.
Having Kevin Stefanski step in, I've been critical of Kevin Stefanski. I didn't like how he handled the situation in Cleveland. That said, he is what, two-time coach of the year?
Yeah, an offensive-minded coach.
And so a really offensive-minded guy, which is what you need for a young quarterback like Michael Penix. And so I do think there's skill with Michael Penix. I don't think he was put in the best position to be successful last year. I think moving forward, this team can be much better. They've got a great offensive line. They got a great running back. I'm picking Atlanta to win this division.
And I have gone through all the schedules for all four NFC South teams and chose winners, losers for each one of their games. And I don't know how, but somehow, some way, my Tampa Bay Buccaneers can win this division at 7-10.
That is possible.
Would not surprise me.
We just need the Falcons and Saints to go 6-11 and the Panthers to go 3-14.
Yeah. It can happen. We've seen it happen in this division quite often.
We've had 7-9 teams make the playoffs. Since we have not had a 7-10 team make the playoffs since we added the game.
No, that'll be fun though. That'll be a lot of fun.
When my Bucks get in or your Falcons get in.
17 to win the Super Bowl. That's awesome.
All right. There's your South breakdown next week. Let's go to the North next week. I want to save the East for second to last since my Cowboys are in the NFC East. And then being on the West Coast, we'll do the NFC and AFC West last. So next week, AFC North, NFC North. Sound good?
I love it.
Cool. We'll be back next week at 9 a.m. It will be me, Rashad, Jordan will be back. But Brandon, appreciate all the help today, man.
My guy.
Absolutely.
Appreciate you, sir. Rashad Taylor, appreciate you as always.
A lot of time, my Damien.
And all the listeners out there that were tuning in, appreciate you as always. You can catch us Sports Saturday next week, next Saturday at 9 a.m. And until then, peace.